Wagwan, good people. It is one of your cheese boys, one of your favorite cheese boys. It's Maps in the house. Welcome to another episode of 6 Foot Weights. Your favorite hour with your favorite cheese boys. But unfortunately, one of the cheese boys is not here. And as you can tell, it's not my fault. I'm happy to report that. I'm elated to report that it's only one person to blame for the last 2 weeks. but as you guys know, you know, these things happen. So we always have some great individuals who are happy to step up, step in to fill the shoes of whoever might be out on that particular week. So yeah, it's going to be a fun podcast. I can feel it. We've got some very interesting topics, a couple beefs that need to be settled with none other than Nat. How are you doing?
It's Auntie Nat to you. Or Sister Nat. I'm leaning into it now. I'm like, you know what? So it's okay.
Fair. I think Sis Nat has a nice ring to it. A quick apology to the listeners. Guys, I'm recovering from a cold as well. So if I sound a bit weird, you know, Kolan, it's this or no podcast. So take it or leave it. I'll do my best to start as close to normal as possible. But otherwise, Sisnat, unjan.
No, I'm good. And I glad to hear Ubuti is not your fault this time round. but no, I shout out to Senna. We understand Ubuti, sometimes schedules just don't align and it's podcasting can be demanding.
Yeah, when you're a lawyer, he's a guy who doesn't do some contracts every day, you know, when you're swindling clients left, right, and center, you know, it can be taxing, it can take time to, you know, work through these things. So, do your thing, sir, put some food on the table, and then Tina, we will, you know, make a plan in your absence. But, like I said, there's a lot of things to get into this particular week. I think, trying to see, it's always difficult, like where can we start or where can we go, but I think the only place we has to be beef. There we have to start with the beef.
What beef?
I especially the beef that I have with you. So to add some context, guys, so if you follow Nat on TikTok, you'll notice that she's become a bit of an influencer. So she's doing these vlogs of her trips and her life and, you know, all this stuff. So she recently went to Zim, and, you know, like we'll talk about that in general. I'm curious how your Zim trip went, but in terms of the beef, part of the Zim trip was going to Victoria Falls. So there I am scrolling on TikTok, and, you know, like it's got like a friends tab, so I see the Nat icon. I'm like, okay, let me see what's their click, and I see, okay, hey guys, come with me to Victoria Falls. I'm like, oh, okay, right. Let's go to Victoria Falls. Let's see what's going on. And then in the middle of the TikTok, she's like, so we got on this chicken bus. And I'm like, what chicken bus? Because so now I'm curious. Next thing, I think the next clip on the video now shows that there was USB chargers on said chicken bus. And I was like, I want to be a UK. This is why I want to be Zimbabwe. We're based in Zim. Because and all of us catch the smoke. It's for people. It's because of people like you. That is not a chicken bus. That is just a regular. You tell you, the brand was a company was Extra City, right? Intercity.
Extra City.
Extra City. So it's just a coach that's not. So like you have coaches, and this is just the way I see it. You have coaches, and there's like levels to coaches. The coaches that, at least in our circles, are the top branded coaches are the Marco Polo ones, right? Our Translux, Intercape, they usually use the Marco Polo ones, right? That's the ones that we're used to. Then you have a lower tier where I don't know what the brand of that particular coach would be, but it still counts as a coach at the end of the day. So you don't say chicken bus is very, very... It's like you say you went to Woolworths or something, right? You picked not Woolworths, maybe like to Spa, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then you pick up a roast chicken and you're like, yeah, guys, so we had in Nkuku Makaya. And it's like, no, fam, because you picked it up at Spa, right? At Bonsa there, doesn't mean that's in Nkuku Makaya. You know what I mean? That's not a road runner. Like a road runner is very, we know a road runner. Like there's no like mistake. Is it a road runner? Is it a, no. We know what it is. Chicken pass, number one. It's got to break down at least 2 to 3 times on the journey. That's the one. Number two, there's no individual seating in the bus. I saw Uti Lapana. There was like maybe on the left side is like 2 seats, other side another 2 seats. Right. Chicken pass is rows. Yeah, what? It's rows. Like a prison, you know, them prison items in the States where you watch movies and stuff. That's a chicken pass. And then number three, when it was moving, was there black smoke coming out of the exhaust?
Probably. I don't know.
No. So if you're not sure, then it means there was nothing. Because if there's no pollution that would scare every living person in the EU, that's not a chicken pass. Yeah. Well, so there's certain things in the checklist that you have to just make sure. Where, and then also, like a Jabantu, was it below or above?
Okay. So, A was actually inside the bus.
Okay.
Emuva.
Which doesn't, that's on the lower side. Like, chicken bus, there's a tire, yabi pezu lapana, and then maybe, yabu gule mbuzi, futi yabu lomuta wewe, tuli mbuzi yake, wei chigile pezu lukanangale, 1 or 2 chickens. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very, a chicken bus is very, very, like, you can tell this is a chicken bus. It's So, Extra City, I don't know, you might have to do a formal apology.
In my defense, Aj,
yes,
so honestly speaking, I didn't put a lot of thought into like because I was just like, is this not a coach? Because guys, I mean, do you know, it's so funny. So anyway, like you were saying, Uti, I went to Big Falls and then I vlogged the Uti, we took Extra City. And anyway, there's a whole thing about the Big Falls trip anyway. Listen, I guys, my TikTok, the comments, literally at first, people were like, oh, wow. Because I vlogged with Sadile Lupane, like whatever.
No, it was a wholesome journey. It was a wholesome journey.
People were like, oh, how long did it take? How much was it? Oh, Lupane, what, touch. And then the chicken bus connoisseurs started calling each other to that video. And then, first of all, it started as, is that a chicken bus? Ki. And then I'm like, ki. And then people are now really upset. People are like, oh, imagine now we chicken bus lady. What? And I'm there thinking, like, okay, I get it. And okay, Nyako Lisa Bandu, you know what? I'm sorry. I get it. But then at the same time, I'm like, guys, that wasn't like, you know, back in the day when, and I'm sure there are these coaches, because I haven't done the Wulawayo to Harare. I'm sure they are sort of like better coaches, right? For some reason, they just don't do that, the Vic Falls trip, because the road is in whatever. So I guess it doesn't make business sense to do like those type of coaches. And so for me, I'm still remembering, you know, like back in the day when you used to have Blue Arrow and all that sort of stuff. Like, to me, that's a coach. You know, when you go and you check in at a certain time, it's kind of like the airport treatment. You get in there, like there's, you know, there's the, if you need a comfort break, whatever, like you can go konapane basini. There's, you know, at least they serve you even like a manzi. You know, for me, that's a coach, and there's aircon. This wasn't it. I'm like, okay, thank you, Gula USB. And I'm saying to people, can do what you can do. Our definitions, do they not evolve? Right?
No.
So are we saying? But I understand, and okay, yeah, you're being wrong. Like, you know what? It's not a chicken bus. I completely get it. But then people like Thabo are like, this is not a chicken bus. I'm thinking, how would you know, Mr. Maps?
No, because...
how would you know?
I went to CVC and I was unfortunate enough to travel to sports events in our chicken bus. So,
no, see, that's why I even have an issue.
What's the
issue? I'm pretty sure the CBC bus was not a chicken bus. You've never been on an authentic chicken bus.
Nat, you don't want to start that. Trust me. You don't want the CBC guys in your comments. Trust me. It was one of the things that if you ask any CBC guy, what is the most embarrassing thing about the school? That it's just, it just didn't make any sense why that was that way. It was our bus. It was a proper chicken bus. It Duma, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you could just tell it was a chicken bus. And then now our competitor, right? Competitor school, Falcon College, with all of their, I say their Nazo connections just to make myself feel good. Maybe the school just had money like that. But then they unleashed not one, right? But two Marco Polo coaches. Top tier, fam. So, like, now you look at this competitor school where you laugh at them. But they park a Marco Polo. Tine Town, we've got a chicken bus. I don't even know what brand. Let me Google now even. It's just for CBC. It was as good as a Zuko item, bruh. It was okay. Bad. Like so that's how I know for sure that you are not in it. There was no USBs. There was nothing in that bus. It was just the driver, a bunch of rows, and four wheels. That's really what we had.
Okay, I hear you. And let me have considered it was not a chicken bus. It is a coach. Like, let me put some respect on Extra City's name, right?
Yes.
But then I then take issue with you, of all people, being like the defender of chicken bus. I'm like, okay, apart from the CBC bus, you have never been on I've been on a chicken bus. Like, back in the day, like, my okokwaifunse, like, Eskotini, we used to get
so,
like, on,
that's
like,
even worse. That's even worse because know what a chicken bus is.
But am I going to use examples from 20 years ago? I thought, you know, chicken bus is just basically like your low tier travel, right? Like, I'm not going to use standards from like 90s to say, oh, this is what a chicken bus is. So I'm like, what time are you have never, ever been on an edge? The same guy who was saying, oh, how can you take your date to Centenary Park? I'm thinking, what are you talking about? And you're like, oh, your friends would have had cars. I'm thinking, Haibo, what is wrong with taking your day to the park? So I had an issue with that. It was you. I think it was Wenkosi. There were quite a few people who were on my covers. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, why did your Negroes last get on a chicken bus? Like, yes, they let it defend the Extra City soul.
Slabashes, Extra Seat.
But you know what?
Share price.
But what I will say, shout out to Extra Seat. And actually, to be fair, when we came back, because we took the night bus like a few days later, it was a newer kind of coach, Sibili. So
but
I
still
think
the same company.
It was still the same company, but I guess in their fleet, they are starting to buy sort of like new coaches or whatever. So yeah, now it was kind of new. So, and it was a safe, I mean, we went and got back in one piece.
Yeah.
Because that Vic Falls Road.
Yeah, no, it's bad. No, it's terrible. It's, I had to drive on it for a few kilometers over Christmas. Yeah. It's not even potholes. Like, it's bad.
It is bad. So terrible. So I mean, I have one plea. Guys, if your parents are, you know, like ministers, in Nusa, as the 6 foot weight guys say, please listen. I just have one plea. Please ask them, you know what? Please, can we speak to whoever? If your parents work for Zinara, wherever, the councils, just say, please, daddy, before you give me extra, you know, like an extra 10 grand for her to flex on the gram, can we, you know, fix like 5 kilometers of the road? We're not relying on you guys. You know, we're there. We follow you guys on the socials. We like everything you do. But so just please, just speak to your parents. Just speak to your parents nicely.
I echo that sentiment 110%. Guys, if you are within, just skip 1 month of looting. You know, just be like, guys, let's just fix something. Like, you know, we're not even like, you know, I'm over the anti-corruption fight. Like, I've left that alone. Like, just, you know, like when your mom would come back from work and say, I need you to find your room clean and this and this and this. And then you forget, and then you run around and then you just, you know, move the cushions here and there. And then you go, you throw your bed cover on the bed. And it's like, okay, it's not stellar, but you tried something. That's all we are asking for our Nazu comrades. Would just, you know, you keep the money, keep flexing. It's okay. You know, keep buying the Benzes and whatever. It's fine. We will accept it. However, just fix the road. Cause again, it's not even that. It's dangerous, man. Like, it's just, it's not even one of those, like, the road is not pretty. It's genuinely dangerous to drive on that road. And then also you have like Victoria Falls, which is, you know, a huge tourist attraction, and it's difficult to get there. That makes no sense, right? You want the economy to make a little bit of money, and even the local economy of not just having people fly in directly to the airport, right? If it falls, a lot of people in Zim would just prefer a road trip. Hey, let's just drive from Harare, let's drive from Ulaya, let's drive from Asuna, wherever. You know, so for at least for those people who are willing to put dollars into the tourism economy, at least as far as I mean, Bichana, and let's make a plan because you. But anyway, Nat, I'm glad you have accepted that it's not a chicken pass. We just had to let you know. For future purposes, chicken pass is very, very specific. It will not evolve unless, again, the bus Lokuzen goes levels above and coaches become chicken passes. But I think there's even a story as to why they're called chicken passes. I can't remember. I think I'd read someone somewhere in your comments, I think, was explaining. But I can't remember what they said.
Yeah, I think what they said was, sort of back in the, well, even now, like it happens, literally there would be chickens. So it's basically the idea of chickens and all these things that would be coming from Ekaya, you know, to come to town and livestock sometimes. So I think that's kind of where it kind of came from. That's my understanding.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I was like, Panavile, I used to see with the chicken passes, I'd see what today is like a random goat or inkuku, like they're just chilling in the corner on the top of that item. It just looked like a lot of admin to pack that thing. And, you know, when we would be driving to wherever we're driving to, you'd always find what there's a breakdown and they're changing a tire or this and this is happening. It just, but anyway, anyway, so like extra city in Atlanta, I don't think it would make it to like Matop. Like Emakaya Lapar or like Asamine Kids. And it's like proper singeni dust road. Aye. But a chicken pass, dust road, no problem. Yangena, all the way to your kaya there. But they'll drop you by your gate and you'll be fine. But let's move things along, let's push things along. To make sure that we get to everything. Okay, on the technology side, this I feel like this is an interesting discussion since you are a bit of a creative. OpenAI has launched Sora. So for anyone who doesn't know what OpenAI is, where do you live? Where have you been? Like, come on. They are the creators of ChatGPT. They're the company that created ChatGPT. And most, if not every person listening to this podcast definitely has used it or played with it. ChatGPT, I mean, to some extent. It's a really, really helpful AI tool. So OpenAI has launched Sora, and what Sora does, so ChatGPT, you prompt it and you say, okay, you know, write me a formal letter, a formal resignation letter, for example, and it can give you that, right? Whereas with Sora, it specializes in image and video generation. specific. So they were showing it off. They launched it, I think, about 2-3 weeks ago now. Can't remember. So they launched it, showed it to the world. And this has obviously the creative community, the photographer, videographer community, you know, expectedly shook. Just because now these guys who go out to these, like, you know, remote places, some random place in Thailand and shoot beautiful drone imagery or whatever, right? You know, the people who take stunning pictures in the African savannah, or all these different things, like, because this is generative AI, it works off of all of those works. That's number one, right? It's fed information. And then it says, based on all this information, this is what I can create. But now, if you're a company, for example, if Nat owns a company and we're like, ah, we just need some generic footage to show on our, it's a TV company, to show on our TV is good display. Then now you can just go to Sora and be like, a beautiful island, crystal blue water and waves. Bah! It'll create it, right? So now, you know, I wanted to get your feedback in terms of, like, how would you feel if you're a photographer, videographer, knowing that there's now this option in the ecosystem, you know, do you think that, you know, we're getting to that point with AI where initially with ChatGPT and stuff, people panicked, but again, it was unnecessary panic because ChatGPT cannot replace a human being. It just cannot, right? It's a useful tool that will help enhance the employees, right? But then with Sora, again, you're those people whose livelihoods are selling their creative works. Now, I don't have to pay them. I can just create it and get the same. Because again, if you're at a TV shop and we've just created that clip off of Sora, it's rather than pay for that clip, it's going to be much cheaper to just, even if it's a subscription to Sora, the subscription is probably going to be like $10 a month. Nothing crazy. Yeah. So I'm going to opt for that, right? So a lot of these guys are going to be affected. And, you know, that economy is going to be affected, at least in a pretty wild way. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Obviously, Mina, I'm not sort of like deep into the technological world and all that sort of stuff. So I guess my understanding may be quite, you know, lay. But so I think my initial thought was it scares me. I don't want to lie. But then at the same time, I guess they are upsides to it. So to your question, like, if I were in that field of work, of course, you know, because, Mina, from what I've seen, like, the videos that they've put out, and literally it's like a description, a video of a couple walking down Tokyo, you know, at nighttime, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, literally you see the simulation. And you can tell that over time, it's going to get better. Obviously, right now, it does look like, okay, this is like a, you know, a simulation or whatever, right? But over time, they'll be able to kind of make people look like people, I'm sure.
And
so for me, I kind of think there's definitely something to be said about the labor market and how it impacts it. And actually, I remember some months back, I hope my memory is correct. I listened to a podcast, Joe Rogan, with Sam Altman, right? Sam is the CEO of OpenAI, right? And obviously, Joe Rogan was asking him, okay, how is this going to impact the labor market, right? And he did say, he was like, you know, initially with artificial intelligence and this sort of world, he said, it's hard to predict the future. And he said, every time people try to predict the future, we get it wrong. And he said he would have thought, right, years ago, decades ago, if you had asked him this question, he would have thought that, oh, this is going to impact sort of like blue collar work. So maybe truck drivers, automation and that kind of industry where, you know, we're now going to get machines, robots, replace factory workers, and that industries such as the creative industries wouldn't be as impacted. But he was like, well, actually, what's kind of happening is that AI is providing solutions to cognitive things. So, you know, like tasks, like what you're saying, Uti, you know, help, you know, maybe if you're at work, like, you know, put to ChatGPT, which, okay, how, like you're saying, like, how can I write a resignation letter or whatever, right? Yeah. Sort of like task based, and it's providing those solutions. And then now it's getting into the creative industry. And obviously, yes, it is affecting a blue collar, but maybe not in the same way that people automatically thought, because you still do need abantu to do that thing. So even if you think of your supermarkets, for example, right, with the automated tills, right, you still do need like 3 or 4 people sort of like around.
But now compare that 3 or 4 people with self-checkout, right? It's usually like 2 to 3, really, in the self-checkout lokuze. And now, whereas before, I'm a supermarket, as it was, the tills would be like 6, 7 people, you know, working the tills. So that's at least 4 to 5 jobs that are now lost.
Yeah. So honestly speaking, I think if I were a photographer, videographer, you know, editor, whatever, I definitely would be like, oh my goodness. But I know it is not just limited to that industry. For example, I love Canva, right? Obviously, I don't know what goes behind the sort of creation of designs and stuff like that. I'm sure maybe there's actual people that work on those things. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I've used Canva so much. It's kind of, how can I, it's shortened the whole, like, me looking for a designer and people charging me crazy prices.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, okay, like, you know, in terms of the design world, it'll be interesting to know what the impact of things like that are, because people want to access ease as well. So even if later on I want to do something and I can simply go to Sora and get a pro account where I can be like, oh, I'm doing a video, right? Uh-huh. Maybe I'm doing video editing and I'm like, in the background, I want, give me a picture of a woman walking down 12th Avenue in Wulai, right? Yeah. So that when I'm talking, you know, that's there. I will make access of it. But I do think it's a very, I think there's ups and there's downs to it. I'm kind of more on the, cause it's an unknown. So there's unknowns. It's a bit like, I mean, I will say, like, with my, you know, like on the, as a side hustle, like I do like freelance copywriting, right? So essentially copywriting is literally fine tuning words, like maybe for small businesses, if people have websites or even like CV reviews and stuff like that. And it's so interesting that, is particularly with CV reviews and like cover letters and stuff like that. So initially, because I was like, oh man, I've just started doing this and people can just go on whatever and do. But interestingly, I've had like 3 people who were like, ah, Natasha, can you just like look at my CV and stuff like that? And they were like, listen, I did it on like some kind of app or whatever they used. I don't know whether it's ChatGPT or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, it's okay, but I'm not getting as much success. And when I look at it, I'm like, oh, this doesn't even sound like you. Mm. Right? Like, and I've come across that where I'm like, oh, okay, like it's good, but maybe it's Americanized. But when you're in the UK, right? Yeah. So the phrasing that you're using just doesn't sound okay. And just everything. And so I'm like, there's still going to be a market for, we now have to be more innovative. There's still room for human creativity that I think artificial intelligence and machinery cannot replace. Like I'm saying in my example, of course, I do realize that, but like I said, for me, this is not like, I mean, hopefully with time, it'll grow to be a bigger business. But it hasn't, it's actually, I've actually got more business because people are like, oh, I've done this online, but I actually need an actual human being to kangele and, you know, help me or help me with the cover letter that will sound authentic and bring out the essence of who I am which these things are not doing. But I can imagine that if I were a big copywriting company and that's all I did, perhaps it would impact my bottom line, right? But I still think, Uti, just going forward, there is, we now have to be more innovative. You now have to be so, do you know what I think a premium is going forward?
Mm-hmm.
Original thought.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Stick, because I think there is, there's such a scarcity of original thought that, I know maybe this is separate from the whole AI discussion, but I think it's linked.
I see the vision. I see it.
Because, and that's why, like, and now I'm not as good, right? There was a time where I was so disciplined. I'll be like, in the mornings, I do not go on social media.
Mm.
I do not read newspapers. Like when I used to be commuting to work. Because I was like, I want to protect my original thought. And those would be the times that I'd find that I do the best creative thing. Whether I'm writing or I'm coming up with ideas, it would be the best because it's not influenced by anything, right?
Do you know, so, you know what's funny?
Yeah.
I actually I went through something similar specifically when it came to movies. So like it's when back there when the Marvel MCU Lokuzen was really like top tier when it was kicking, right? 5-6 years ago. You know these reviewers on YouTube and stuff like that, they get early access, right? So the studio will give them access and then they'll say there's an embargo, you can only release your review maybe like a week or two before the movie releases, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, Nat's gone and she's seen the Avengers movie. And Nat's gone and she's uploaded, she's done a video, okay, I've seen Avengers, this is what I like, this is what I didn't like. And, you know, even without spoilers, right, the non-spoiler review, you're still giving me your thoughts on the movie, right? With the, okay, yes, this was great, or this could have been done better, even if you're not saying what the actual this is. And I noticed that it started when I started, like, watching movies after seeing some of these reviews, because, again, it's come out a full week or 2 weeks before the movie, you know, comes to my country. When I actually see the movie for myself, I'm now thinking of, like, ah, that's it. There's a scene that really kind of annoyed her because they didn't do it like this, which was different in the comics. And I'm thinking about that, you know what I mean? And it started taking away just the pure, what is my actual reaction to this movie? So when I realized that, I started purposely, you know, leaving the reviews until after. So I'd watch the movie and then I'd be like, right, let me see what Nat has to say. Are we on the same page? Or, you know, is it a different thing? Because, like, I felt like it started to just ruin the way I was watching. I was now critiquing the movie rather than just taking it for what it is and just enjoying it for what it is. So I think it's pretty similar to what you're saying in terms of avoiding our newspapers and social media and stuff.
Absolutely. And I think if we then go back to the whole AI and all these automations and all everything that's happening, it's then about who feeds into that. I think that's the more scary part for me is who feeds into it. What are their value systems? You know, we've got Sam Altman, Elon Musk, and you're just like, oh my goodness, we're creating gods. Literally, we're creating gods. Yeah, and we are now. It's like, what are their value systems? So that's what scares me more. And that's why I'm saying original thought is a premium, and will even be a greater premium moving forward because we're so programmed already.
Yeah.
And all these systems will, accommodate our programming. And to be a disruptor, you're going to have original thought. That's why even in politics, people like Trump, like, they're disruptors because they're coming out with things that are left field. Even commentators, you know,
they're not OG Owens. Politicians.
Exactly. It's that disruptive thought. But I will say, you know, another thing that I was thinking, Mina, I'm a, I'm a visual and an audio learner, right? Uh-huh. So, like, I've been doing like these project management courses and stuff like that, and oh my god, reading. I think after a certain time, I don't know how I used to do it in school, like, you know, you there was one way you read, but then now I find, like, if I'm listening to like an audio of like a seminar, whatever, webinar, like, I take things in better. So I was thinking, oh, you know, there's probably a lot of people who have maybe different learning needs that this will really be good, right? So if you're visualizing and you're saying, oh, this is, you know, I don't know if you're talking about geography or whatever, and then there's this text to video thing, they'll be able to kind of visualize it more. You know, like if you're talking about all these processes and what that looks like, you know, clouds, stratosphere and all that sort of stuff. So actually it can be a good thing, because there's so many people who maybe are deemed witty, or they're slow, or they're whatever, but actually they're probably better visual and audio learners. So in a way, it's meeting that good. But I think what I will say is just about having those safeguards in place. Witty, we think of the worst case scenarios, and they are the proper safeguards. But unfortunately, this is a world where there's probably a limited percentage of people in the world that really fully understand it. So I don't know if governments even have the capacity to really understand and even regulate it in a way that
needs to be
regulated. No, they don't.
Because the experts right now, the experts, the guys who really know it, are all working at OpenAI, at Google, at all of these guys who are, you know, really pushing this AI revolution. So, like, even when it comes to governments and like the school curriculum, just with ChatGPT alone, before you even get to Sora, you know, how have governments reacted in Africa and in Europe and in America to editing school curriculums, right? The Ministry of Education, like, because now if I had ChatGPT when I was growing up in high school, like, come on, fam. You know what I mean? Like, the challenge that we had to really, you know, if your teacher says, write an essay on, you know, one of Shakespeare's novels and whatever, there was still, even with our Spark Notes and whatever, you still had to produce work, right? But now, if I have something that can spit out a 1,000 word essay, and then I know my job is just to, you know, DAI the essay, right? Like, at some point, like, even if you have, there's these, like, Turnitin.com now has like an AI function where they can check what percentage of this was AI generated. Kids are smart enough to get around that, right? Just like they were smart enough to get around plagiarism checkers and stuff like that. So it's a whole, like you said, it's a whole different set of challenges, but I do like that idea of, like, you know, if I'm a geography teacher, I can use Sora, connect my computer to the projector and be like, these are cumulonimbus clouds, and like, you can talk about, simulate how a thunderstorm starts, right? If maybe that footage isn't necessarily there or available, right? Or we don't have the rights to use the footage of someone who's actually, you know, seen that. So you can use some of these things to enhance. But I know from a negatives point of view, and then we'll kind of move on, where, you know, what people were saying was, obviously, there's the ethical concerns, which I think we kind of touched on, right, with this such a tool. Because, again, we're now basically following what Sam Lokuzen Altman deems to be important or not important, right? So, well, he's people at this point, right? And then, obviously, the job displacement, that's a whole different, big discussion as well. And, again, like you started to say, the over-reliance on technology, right? So, that over-reliance on technology could stifle human creativity, right? And that critical thinking skills at the end of the day. So striking that balance is going to be huge, because, like you said, we are going to get to a point where it's like, just for someone who has free thought and creativity, like, we might get to a point where someone like Kanye West is the savior of the world. We're heading there. Like, I'm afraid of groupthink. Like, I don't like Witty, you're all kind of like, I like that with my friends, we're all different and we debate each other and we see things from different perspectives. Because even with what you're saying now, you're opening up different things that I was like, oh yeah, that was a negative, but this was a positive. You know, it's like, huh, okay. You know, it's important to have people who just see things from a different vantage point. And then if you're listening to this conversation, you take the key pieces to be like, okay, yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense. But also you go and you research it. Or like any podcast that I listen to, anything interesting that I hear, I'll look it up. Oh, yeah, that's what's interesting. Let me hear what this, why is, you know, Andrew so pissed about this, this and this, you know, and then like, it, does he have a point? Does he not have a point? Let's see, you know, so I think it's a very interesting discussion. I think what this was definitely not the last time that we're going to touch on this, because again, this is the scary part is this is the worst ChatGPT is going to be. This is the worst Sora is going to be at this point in 2024. That's the worst version of it. Like, it's the poorest version, rather, of it. It's only going to get better, right? It's and they're going to crack something at some point where they, you know, in terms of teaching these things out of reason, like a human being. Like, it's, I don't know, from an ethical point of view, right? Like, this will turn into iRobot very quickly. turn into iRobot very, very quickly. And it's like, but guys, how did we get to this point? You know, so I don't know. And it, I think from a technological point of view, it is scary because governments, the people that we're meant to trust, again, they don't have enough information to either stop these guys or encourage them or whatever. Like, the problem is that these guys are clueless. So I would probably go back in history and read on, you know, what happened when countries started discovering nuclear technologies, right? Read through the history, be like, what was the reaction of these governments? Problem is that a lot of those governments were at war, right? So they were like, yes. You know what I mean? So like, there's war to deal with, so they needed weapons of mass destruction. But for most countries, Gatesi, that's not the case, especially with this AI, with the technological front. It's not as government heavy. You know what I mean? Like, with weapons, government is very, very involved in that because they protect the country. But with the AI side, with the tech side of things, again, they're not that focused on it just because, again, it's not about war or whatever, which it might be the reason why certain things that come alive end up coming alive when they were not meant to come alive because the government wasn't checking for it like that. But anyway, it's a movie. We'll park it here. And guys, but yeah, guys, look it up. Get informed about this stuff. It's going to incorporate itself into your lives, whether you like it or not. So you might want to stay on top of these things. All right, let's see. Okay, cool. Let's move to the the lighter side of things. right. So, have you ever heard of? Let me see if I can maybe get a name correct. Londi London.
No.
Okay, so she's a baddie from South Africa. She made the news. This is Sunday World. Okay, cool. Yeah, so she made the news recently, early February. Kutokona police seized a hijacked BMW driven by Londi London. So basically, police have confiscated a hijacked BMW 330i, believed to have been driven by a reality star and singer, Londi Wezulu, popularly known as Londi London. The car, which was similar to one of the most boastful Zulu, the car which is similar to the one the boastful Zulu flaunted on social media in March last year, was allegedly hijacked in KwaZulu-Natal and handed over to her by her ex-boyfriend Spamandla Mabonga. The Zulu bragged to her followers that Mabonga bought her the brand new BMW 330i shortly after telling those who cared to listen that her other ex-fiancé had taken back the car he had given to her. Little did she know that the luxury vehicle would later be impounded by the police on suspicion that it was hijacked. So I have to give credit to the two broke twins because they're the one who put me onto this story. And I just found it absolutely hilarious. Like, because they were just saying the baddies are down bad. So they were listing it in the different ways that the baddies were down. This was the story that to me was the funniest of all of them, because I'm just like, guys, when are people going to learn? Oguti, I don't know. And you tell me if this is different, if you see it a different way, right? As a hardworking man, Nina, the money that I have, I work for it, guys. Right? It's not given to me just for free. I'm putting in work, right? So if you're just someone I'm messing around with, or my girlfriend or whatever, like, if it is hard-earned money, I'm not just saying, hey, here's a BMW, you know, brand new, like just tat, you know what I mean? Like on a girlfriend thing? Nah, I'm not doing that, fam. Even if I'm making money, like, I'm just not, I'd have to be making like MBA money. where I'm making millions on a monthly basis and the car costs maybe like $40,000-$50,000, then sure, you know what? I bought you a new BMW or a new Mercedes. I can see that coming. Because if we're just talking about, you know, percent salary, right? Because if you're looking at the same percent of that NBA player's salary, if you put it into, you know, my realm, that's probably like buying the girl, you know, I don't know, an Apple Watch or something. I don't know, something. You know, it's like, okay, you, if you really want to do that for your girl, that type of thing, where you can reach to that level, that's okay. But like... Justin J, umuntu you're just dating, and then he's like, yeah, that's a BMW. Like, and then you take it, obviously, because you're happy or whatever. Don't you, like, think, Uguti, bro, this is a bit too easy. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get scared. I mean, personally, I'd be suspect. Like, if anyone, even my own friends, they go, I'm like, why? What did you do to it? You have to have a healthy sense of skepticism, because now, you know, your motor vehicle has now been impounded on suspicion that it was hijacked. And that's kind of awkward.
Man. So, no, I wasn't familiar with this story, and I'm not familiar with this lady. So, maybe there's a lot of context that I'm missing. But I guess on her end, Ancho, it's not that she pretended as if, yeah, okay, she credited her guy and said thank you.
Yes.
So the buck really still stops with him. But she was truthful. Ancho, she was truthful. Oh, I got this gift. Oh, thanks, babe. Ancho. So now, Sumele spend a babe, sit how, Gandhi, Gabi, what gone? What's going on? You know, like, so I guess from her point of view, like, you know, what could she do? Man's wanted to gift her a car, and there she got it. But I guess there's a wider discussion, honestly, that needs to be had about these standards that are there, the expectations of, and maybe I won't be popular with the ladies, like, but I think I've kind of said it, with maybe the expectations of, you know, like, women and men and the whole, like, indoda must kind of thing, which is okay, but I think sometimes because guys, we're in a recession. In the UK, we're in a recession, for example, right? I think it's difficult. So that's why maybe you get the situations where then some of these women now are expecting, okay, so in exchange for my beauty and in exchange for me being a baddie or an it girl, whatever it is. I expect this type of lifestyle. But I mean, I'm a big believer, Uti. Everything in life, there's no shortcuts. You either pay for it at the front end or somewhere down the line. Like, there's no shortcut to life. I firmly believe this.
I have a question. Could you yourself date a criminal?
No, if not knowing.
So Uka is like, no, knowingly. So Uka is like a scammer, or he's a, you know, like he gets amatenders in unscrupulous ways, you know, and then he just says, you know, here's Nansa, we 10,000 lapo, you know, go have some fun, you know, I'll fly you to Paris, you know, just that whole lifestyle, right?
I personally wouldn't be comfortable with it, because I would be thinking, what's the catch here? And like you're saying, if I know
the catch, that the guy is Dutch, is it? So you know, Guti, anytime, Zingakala.
I wouldn't be comfortable with that, just because this is just a personal thing. Like, I see myself as my own entity. Right. Mm-hmm. And I, how can I say it? I'm the main actor in my life. Right. So I don't want to play supporting role or anything, because Mina, your shenanigans can then impact my life. Right. No, I'm serious. Like later on, if I want to, if maybe I want to restart a podcast or what, I want to stand on my own self, right? I don't want to be reliant too much on other people, because then if things are up, then we're up. If things, no. I want to rely on my own hard work and everything. And I think also there's just a thing about in life, if people's source of wealth is unexplained, that's an issue. I need to be able to understand that. Not that you're pocket watching.
Natasha, you're not SARS. Why do you want to know where the money is?
No. I wouldn't be comfortable. Because it's just like, for me, it's kind of like, you see certain things. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe this is the hate in me. It's not the hate. I don't understand.
It's hate. Let's go.
No. Okay. For example, yes, right?
I'm listening.
I don't understand how every other person I know is flying business class. Like, when I tell you this thing keeps me up at night, because, and this is not like work trips. Like, these are people who are just flying to South Africa in the selfie business class. And I look at myself and I'm like, I work hard, right? I have an okay job, but I struggle like everyone else.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I try. But these prizes that, like, yes, when I was going to Zim, I said to myself, I said, let me see, because I'm traveling with the best. I said, let me see business class. Because I was like, if it's a certain amount.
What airline was it?
Also, I ended up using British Airways to Joburg and then from Joburg to London. But at the time when I was just looking, I was looking at all different options.
Okay.
So in my mind, I'm thinking, maybe business class, maybe it's an extra 500, 600 pounds.
500?
Like, that already is, but I was just thinking,
Yeah.
And I start looking at the prices. I said, have you ever seen that clip from The Breakfast Club where this guy's like, who are these niggas?
We need to stay away from these niggas.
I'm like, no. Where have I gone wrong in life? Because I'm like, I'm sorry. Literally every other person is a business. Whatever. Because I said, maybe. I was like, but then now I'm like, no, guys. So for me,
it's kind of, no.
I'm now at that age, right, Tama, where you can't be the person who's always commenting, wow. you can't be that person who all the time, right? So there's, I'm not at that age, there's certain things you just have to eat. You just like, nice.
Take the L quietly.
Yeah, Jenny Mercy's safe trip. You know, like, you can't always be like, wow. because people are not going to look at you on some like, Kati, why is this surprising to you? But anyway, explains extra city anyway. But on a serious note, I feel like I isn't a lazy, for example, I said, I wasn't familiar with this girl. Like, there's this Portia Williams. I don't know if you know this American who was in Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Was married to this Nigerian guy. Uh-huh. Simon, they had this big, you know her. Portia Williams. She got married to this guy like 2 years ago. This Simon.
I've been seeing the location on Twitter, but I just never bothered to read Gudu Hamanja.
Yeah, so they had this lavish wedding and everything, and she's really like, she had adopted the whole Nigerian lifestyle and everything. But I say this to my friend, like, we always like, leave these African Negroes alone. Like, if you are not African, leave these Negroes alone. And, I mean, I don't want to be like, yeah, I told you so, but now, like, yeah, they're now divorcing, whatever. But then it's now like he's been accused of previous, cases of fraud, credit card fraud, this. And I even went on his website because this thing, yeah, he shook her from before. Because I was like, this Simon guy, they're saying he's a businessman. And I couldn't find anything online.
Ha! Not like, your generational hater, bro. Investigation!
I'm still investigating Jinibi, rest in peace. Because I'm like, this bothers me.
No, you don't have
a website.
Let the thugs thug, man. Let the criminals do their thing. Like, that's what I'm saying. Oh, when you're like, you just choke it up and you say, listen, I was going to say your response upon saying, no, you wouldn't date a criminal is the majority of Zim girls that I know, whenever this discussion comes up, they say, nah, couldn't be me because I feel like I would. And it's like, I believe them 100%. Like, I think the majority is specifically Zim women, right? Because I know Zim mothers. No, they're not about that life, right? But then again, I am exposed to a bunch of people who are outside of that geography. Well, like, listen, fam, where the money is, uzong tola kon, right? So, like, I try to juxtapose and I see, okay, what's different here, right? And then there's always that ethical line at the end of the day. So it's just like, you have to make the decision for yourself to be like, look, if I want to live a fast life, you can live a fast life. Like, there's people out here who are willing to support a fast life. But you just have to know, like you said, at some point, the bill's going to come due, right? Yep. One way or another. And if you're fine with that, you're fine with that. It can be anything, fam. The bill can be anything at the end of the day, right? Which in Jinimbi's case, unfortunately, the bill was death, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a lot of things where, you know, he looks at the risks and he's like, I'm sure it's like, if his spirit is floating around somewhere and you ask him, like, Chief, are you surprised that things ended that way? He's going to be like, nah, because, you know, I was moving mad. And it's like, it's one of those, it's cat and mouse. At some point, you get caught or you don't. And, you know, it's just, that's just how it is for everybody. But, like, your business class item made me laugh. Because I think a lot of people are silent haters. I'm starting to see that version of people where it's like, you know, again, I don't have a lot of people on my Instagram. I'm not like, you know, I'm not even in the thousands, right? I'm just, I think I'm
the staring wheel. Another beggar. And first of all, like, how many holidays does this sneaker have?
So I think I'm going to invest in close friends. Like, what this conversation has taught me is I need to invest in my close friends list on Instagram, because clearly niggas is hating. Niggas is investing in it privately, waiting for the day. If I then post to the tour, bruh, Maps is in jail. There was a time where genuinely I got at least 6 messages of people making those passive haha Zanu jokes at me, right? And it's like, I hear the jab, my guy. Like, I feel it. Because it's like, at the end of the day, so I flying to Lagos and I flew business class, upgraded the flight, right? And here's just a free hack for people, just so that people, because people think end up being gatekeepers to start with this free knowledge, right? Whatever airline that you're flying, it happened to be Qatar Air that time, right? I check in. And sometimes when you check in, if the flight, I think it's when business class is not that full, right? And they want to make a sale, they'll do exclusive offers, right? So the upgrade wasn't really that crazy expensive, right? And I was like, it's business class. It's an 8-hour flight. Let's do it, right? And then because of the points that I got from that flight, I got a free upgrade from another flight on Qatar Airways to business class. Right. So it just happened to be on in a very short period. I'm flying business class on multiple flights. Then my wife also flew business class on Emirates, I think a month prior or a month after. So like people who know us both, they were like, yeah, like it was funny because it's like people who follow you consistently, they kind of, you put everyone in economic brackets, right? So like, okay, I've followed Nat for a while. I kind of know without knowing this is her economic bracket, right?
Yeah.
So now what it looked like, we were outside of our economic bracket. You social media police were not coming in with jabs and they're like, hey. And then like they were pure hearted people, like them Togos of the world, who come into your Instagram and like, hey, that's a business class thing, my guy. I see you. And it's like, appreciate that, bro. Because to me, I will cheer you on. If you post in your business class, I'll be in your DMs like, fam, it's lit. Right.
Yeah,
so, and to me, that's the energy that we must all have. This thing of now being like, yeah, no, we're waiting for the shoe to drop. Vele benguas, we did a pass. And it's like,
No. To be honest, Anjo, I'm really saying this for like criminals, Anjo. I think people that, you know, like, I don't know if peers is kind of the right word, right? That you guys are like my young brothers. Like, you know, there's people that we've kind of built, kind of like a family community because of this online and everything. And like you're saying, Uti, and it goes back to what I'm saying, Uti, not that you need to explain your life, Aj, but there's some things that you can understand, right? And no one needs to explain their life, but there's, like I'm saying, like, I don't know, maybe like the intricate details of your life, right?
Yeah.
But I know you're doing well. I know you work in finance. Remember, even when you used to do those finance things, do you know what I mean? So you would have an idea with, oh, Tabo's doing well, right? Tabo's doing well. You know, I know that your wife works. She is probably doing well. So it's not that even if I were to see those things, I'd be like, oh my God. Do you know what I mean? But because like you can, it would be like motivation. Wow. So honestly, like a lot of the people that I'm talking about, it's really like, it motivates me. Wow. Like, you know, like I want to get to that level where I'm able to, cause I'm getting old, man. Like I'm getting to that point where even like with travel, you want luxury, honestly. You want luxury because you treat yourself what, two times a year or whatever. So even for me, like on my thing, like when I turn 40, I won't say when, but it's getting very near. Literally for my 40s, I'm like, wherever I'm flying, I want to fly business class. Like that's literally my gift to myself. But it makes sense. So even me, if I'm quote unquote flexing, whether people, maybe I'm flexing on my credit card, the overdraft, I would like that. But I think no one is going to be like, cause people be like, no, we know Natasha works, you know, you know, we've seen her doing this and that. But I'm just saying it's these people that are, it's just so unexplained where all of us, we are working so hard. And then there's these people where the source of wealth is so unexplained. And I think with the Zim women stuff, I think our struggles as a country, right, have meant that this whole Indoda mast, it's not the same. I know it's kind of coming back because you have bingas and stuff like that. But again, most of these people are politically connected. It's not an even playing field in Zim, to be honest. But I think what happened with our struggles, it's meant people, that thing of like, oh, the men must do this is not really there. Not because the men don't want to do it, but that's just was the nature of what was happening. So the women have learned to kind of rise up and uzimela, I can't even find the right English word for it, but to really like stand for themselves. And then even when you're growing up, you see strong women like that and you want that, right? Like I think there's pride in like working for something and it being your own. Not to say you don't want to be looked after and everything. It's fine, but isn't it so nice if we're both coming together and I know you worked hard. Maybe you took over your family business or you started something from scratch and we've worked hard. But if you're just coming and I don't know where your wealth is coming from. You know, you're telling me you own a mining company or you own a Gwanda Solar, whatever, and Agukanyi. To me, personally, maybe yeah. I'm also speaking from a place of privilege. Maybe I haven't been that down bad.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I'm like, no, I don't want like that. I don't want that, right? Because I want, there's pride in hard work, and it, and a lot of hard work is more sustainable. All these things, listen, I've paid enough bills in my life. I do not need to be paying more. And these things are real, man. Like, whatever energies you put out, it will come back. You will reap everything that you sow. And sometimes you can just be a passenger and you don't know that we're now reaping, you know, what someone else is doing. Case yeah. in point, this lady with the stolen car. Right, so yeah,
it is funny if your car was your boyfriend actually stole it. It's like that's a very awkward conversation to have at home. Trying to explain it to Kambanja. But let me see here. Moving right along, guys. Look into your airlines. There's always, you know, business class offerings. Look up YouTube videos on how to score yourself a free upgrade. There's all these different things, fam. Look it up, get the knowledge, and then that way you can flex on us on the gram. And then we can start our financial investigations and audits on you accordingly. But speaking of finances, I wanted to really quickly just touch on Bitcoin just as an FYI for the listeners, because people have been in my DMs like, hey, you don't do enough financial work, guatini. I'm like, okay, fine. Let me actually, you know, do something for the people. So if anyone... It's oh man, this thing is giving me in dollars. Okay, there we go. So Bitcoin, very, very popular for the last, I'd say, 5 years. This really blew up like in the last five years, in the middle of the pandemic there, Bitcoin blew up. But it also took a dip, right? So I think it was in 2021. Let me see if I do the 5 year graph. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, perfect. So Bitcoin had been trending for quite a while, and it started to blow up, right? And get, you know, more and more and more. So it was as cheap as, let's say, I can only go back as far as 2015, right? In 2015, Nat, you could buy one Bitcoin for $327, right? That is not necessarily cheap. Like, it was a point you could get them for as cheap as like $5, right? Like, that's like maybe like 2010 or something, right? But anyway, for the purpose of this discussion, guys, you could get a Bitcoin for as little as $327 in 2015. And then it just kept on chugging along, spiked up to as much as 15,000 in 20,000 really in 2017, right? And then it dropped down again back to above 5,000-6,000. Was cheap as even $3,000. And then it was just, you know, leveling. Then pandemic, 2020, right? So this is August 2020. It was at about $11,000. And it started shooting and shooting and shooting. So August 2020, we're looking at $11,000. By April of 2021, it was as high as $60,000 for one coin. So that one coin that you could have bought in 2015 for $327 was a $60,000 coin in 2021, right? So now the mistake that a lot of people make, because obviously people were looking at it like, oh, you can become an instant millionaire, blah, 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 right? That's if you were early, as like 2015 early, right? Or even further back, or even in the 2018 Skodapada. Yes. A lot of people became millionaires, right? Crypto millionaires, and a bunch of coins started trending, all this other stuff. A lot of people then jumped in on Bitcoin in 2021 when it was at 60,000, right? Which was not necessarily great. So they bought a bunch of Bitcoin whilst it was at its highest. And then soon after, it dropped. It dropped from 60,000 to as low as $24,000, right? So now imagine that you've spent $60,000 buying one Bitcoin. And then now it's worth half of that, just over half of that. You'd be shook, right? So a lot of people panicked and they sold off those assets. So they sold off that Bitcoin. So they lost. They took a $30,000 loss, sold it off.
Yeah.
Right. But typically what I tell people, you know, again, this is not actual investment advice before people come and sue me. If you're making a loss, because I also ended up buying a bit more. So I had Bitcoin from before, but then like when it touched 60, I was like, the thing keeps on going higher and higher. Might as well just jump in. Let's see what happens. So I bought some as well. And then it crashed. And I was like, I was annoyed. I was like, fuck. Okay. Do I just, and I know I'm not going to sell it. Let me just leave it. Eventually, you know, it'll come back and I'll recoup my money. Right. That's just what I told myself. So I didn't even pay attention to it. And then I started seeing articles recently. So it went back in 2021. Okay. So in August. So, okay, cool. This is 2021. So it touched, went back lower. It went even lower than 24,000. By December 2022, it was at $16,000. That's about the lowest it has been in the last 2 years. Only to say today, Bitcoin is back up. It's on the up and up. It's at $67,000 per coin, right? Mm. So now, because of that money that I didn't pull out, I've actually made a bit of money off of that Bitcoin that I bought at 60,000 because it's now at 67,000. Right. So this is all this is to say, just from an investment point of view, guys, like always think long term and always invest money that if it does, like if someone woke up today and said, Nat, Bitcoin is not worth $0, it's worthless. You're okay with it. You can walk away and be like, listen, it is what it is. It would have been nice if not, but whatever. So that's the type of funds that you should be looking to invest, especially as like young professionals, right? Where it's not, we're not criminals, right? If you're not a criminal, then passively invest with, you know, money that you're willing to let go. Because now, if you let go of that, if you were one of those people that invested, because I know quite a lot of people invested at that peak point when it was between 50 to 60,000 in 2021, because people were going crypto, everything was crypto. It was crazy. So a lot of people, you know, if you were one of those guys that just kept it in there, I'm sure you're happy now. Now you can choose to, you know, if you think Bitcoin is too volatile, because if you look at the charts, it is volatile. It's going up and down. The swings are crazy, right? Highs of 67,000 to lows of like 15, 16,000. That's crazy, right? From a risk point of view. So at this point, sure, pull out your money, sell it off, call it a day. You dabbled in, you know, the crypto world. That's fine, right? But all this to say, even if you want to put in now, you can put in. Right? Because again, maybe it's going to go even higher because the peak was 60. Now this peak is 67,000. So I would wager that even if it drops all the way down, it will go over 67 at some point and you'll make that money back. But now you could also be that person who tries to be smart and times the dip. And a lot of people, hey, buy the dip. So if you do buy the dip, then you look like one of the smartest people out there. So if it drops down to our 20,000, I would buy some Bitcoin. And just because one coin is worth 20,000, just an FYI, guys, it doesn't mean you have to have $20,000 to buy an actual coin. So if you want a full coin, then yes, it's 20. In this case, it's 67,000, right? But you can buy a piece of the coin as well. So if you have $100 and that's all you can invest, or if you have $20, that's all you can invest, that's fine. That $20 will buy you a piece of Bitcoin and it will appreciate and depreciate as the actual currency goes. So you don't need a ton of money. You can literally even $5, put it in there, buy some Bitcoin and just see how it goes. But anyway, that was just a crypto explainer for people that are interested in getting into crypto and are curious about crypto. It's going to go up and down radically, but just try to be smart about when to enter, when to leave, and when to just be patient. Investment teaches you a lot of pay. I'm a passive investor. I'm not one of these guys that will trade on a day-to-day basis and, you know, all this other stuff. I know it's not for me. Like, I don't have the time. I'm busy. So I just try to make smart investments and just leave it. Just leave it, you know, check in. I'll probably even look at my portfolio like every couple of months just to see what's going on. I was like, oh, okay, look, I made some money, and then close it and, you know, just move on. That's the way that I go about it, because I'm just plotted myself. Look, I'm going to do this and leave this for the next 30 years and just let it chug along, and I'm just going to be putting money in the portfolio. Let's see where it goes. Apparently, you can get to $1 million or $2 million in your savings, and that sounds pretty good to me. So let's see what happens. But I'm a big fan of passive investing. Wolf of Wall Street, local rule. I used to do it in uni because I had time and it was fun. But like now, you know, so kule mali ye school fees. So people have to be responsible. But Natasha, are you an investor? Are you in that world? Are you interested?
Listen, as I'm hearing you speak, I'm like, yo, guys. So, but I'm glad you actually said like 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Because during the pandemic, for some reason, I feel like I made a lot of savings during that time. Guess not traveling and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, Mutu, I bought some Dogecoins.
Oh. Oh, good old Dogecoin. Yes.
What happened? Goodness. People were like, oh, it's going to go up. And remember, that's the time Elon Musk was on some, oh, that
yes.
So I'm thinking, people are like, oh, it's going to, the value is going to go up to a dollar. So now I'm like, I put money, you know what? Let's just say I try not to talk about it. I mean, it's still there. maybe. To, and it's like I made a series of, I don't know if it's poor, maybe time will tell. And then I was like, oh, it's right about the same time.
So wait, Utengenin, what year? What year did you buy?
I think it was like 2021 or I feel like it was 2021.
Did you buy it for like $10 a coin?
No, it wasn't 10. I forget what it, because I used, I think it was Coinbase, you know, that platform something. All I know is the value that I purchased, if that makes sense. Like the let's just say for example, let's say it's £100 or whatever, right?
Okay, so you put £100 in.
Let's just say, for example, yeah.
And how much is it worth now?
That's why I try not to. I think it's definitely less, like it's lost value from the time that I bought it. So I tried not to. And then I made another, I was like, oh, so I opened like a trading account, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, you know, let me buy shares and this, that. Oh my God. Literally, like my portfolio is dipped down. Like I just opened the app, Ukuluma. It's dipped down 43.84%. Like the value that I put totally, everything that I bought is down except for Meta Platforms. Like it's the only thing that's gone.
So overall value of the portfolio is minus 43%.
Is minus 43, 43.84%. Everything. And you know what? Well, I won't blame my brother, but there was a time when, you know, NIO, right? That is the car, whatever. Yeah. I think something was happening. I'm forgetting. I think they were about to release some new car, something like that. There was something happening, right?
Yeah.
And my brother was like, oh, I bought shares. So I... I'm like, I put... Although now when he tells the story, he says, oh, you did it at the wrong time. Like, you did it later. You're supposed to do it in the day. Listen, I don't know. I'm just like, okay, fair enough. And the value is 90% less. Right? So literally everything, Tesla, I think I got Tesla, I think IAGs or British Airways, whatever.
Yeah.
Because at the time, I think I was thinking, oh, pandemic, you know, once travel resumes, you know, flight camp. No.
Nothing.
EasyJet, no, like literally everything that I put money in has gone down, except it's only now Konambon, UTE, Face, well, Meta, whatever.
Yeah,
it's gone up a little bit. So I was just like, but anyway, you know, maybe I need to be patient, like you're saying, and hopefully at some point, it will, yeah, asas.
Yeah, so what they say is regarding the U.S. Stock Exchange, New York Stock Exchange, right, in the U.S. stock market, rather, if you're in the market for at least 30 years, specifically the U.S. market, you will never not make money. So if you're in there for at least 30 years, your money will appreciate as a whole. That's what they say, right? That's what the Abel Warren Buffett, like, what's money, they claim. But I would say, so for as long as it's less than what you've invested, I'd leave it. That's just my only way I thought about it. It's like, because if you sell, then it's confirmed, right? It's now, we know Natasha lost 43% on this particular share.
Yeah.
It's a no. Yeah. For now, you can pretend it's not true.
Close your eyes, that's true.
Keep chugging forward and go about it. But I'd say as people who are passive investors, if you're not actually a finance person or you don't really care to be one, I always help to tell people it's easier to invest in, because even my wife was thinking about it. When she was setting up her portfolio, I just told her, like, bro, invest in companies that you know, like that you actually follow up
with. Right.
Right. So if you're interested in Tesla, you can buy Tesla. If you're interested in McDonald's, you can buy McDonald's. Yeah. McDonald's been doing really well. You know, there's a couple companies that are popular, you know, like that are doing well. So like it's easier to keep track of those because their news will probably get on your radar. If you then go and buy some pharmaceutical company because you added the family braai, and then Malumez Banibani Utekuna, hey guys, Tenganin, buy the dip, and the dip is still dipping. It's like, you know, some of these things, it can get sticky. So I'd say if you're passive, just more so invest. Either you hire an actual financial advisor who will sort out your portfolio for you, but obviously you're going to incur those fees. If you have that type of money, do that. Otherwise, invest in companies that you know and you actually care about or you actually believe in, you know, and then just spend a bit of time researching. Go on your Apple Stocks app and put your actual portfolio in there. And then you can check every couple of days, be like, oh, okay. Cause they put articles that are useful based on the companies that you're following. And you know, if you read some of these things, but again, it's just, I liken investing to, it's as good as fantasy football. It's the same exact thing. You don't know what's going to happen on game day, but I just hope. You know, it's just, and then you can read up. There's all the statistics. He scored this many goals against this team for the last 4 years. So you can get, you know, knee deep in the stats, or you can go on instinct and just be like, you know what? This guy hasn't scored for a few games. He's due a good game. You know, like, so it's called fundamental investing. And then there's technical investing. What's it called? Fundamental. And I think it's technical. The technical is that the charting and looking at numbers and all that. Fundamentals is more based on just, these are the fundamentals of investing, the theory side of things, right? So usually I'd say do a combination of both, right? But if you don't want to go into the tech, because again, you can get so lost in the stats, the different ratios and this and that, where it's like, brah, this is not even like, you know, at the end of the day, you could know all the stats on all the companies and they could still not make you the type of money that you're looking to make. Right. So sometimes it's just easy to just kind of look at it on a surface level. And if you can determine that, look, the intrinsic value of this company, the share price is below where it is, then absolutely. If it's below, then buy. Because it means that the value is going to rise to where it's meant to be. But if you're like, I don't believe in Starbucks like this. Yes, it's doing well, but it's overvalued. Then don't buy because then it's going to drop, you know. But anyway, that's it. Hopefully, we'll pray for your portfolio, Nat.
I'll be patient. I'll be patient. And yes, please do more of these things. Tinabanya, we're now interested in retirement plans. Not because you are retiring now, but no, like on a serious note, like I was talking to someone about, like, what does maybe going back to Zim or spending more time in Zim look like, right?
Yeah.
If that's even possible. And everything is money, right? So I think maybe just conversations around like what you're talking about, but also like what opportunities are there like in Africa, even if it's not like Zim, right? Even in terms of like other stock exchanges and I think that would be worthwhile.
Okay. All right, no, definitely. We'll put that on there. Just before we wrap up, quick thoughts on the Usher, Meek Mill, Diddy situation, you know, Usher and Meek being listed as victims. I don't know if we can call them victims, but like.
Yeah,
it's peak.
To be honest, I think it's one of those things where, we just don't know what the truth is. That's the honest truth. right? And the lie is more entertaining. Like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a lie can be more entertaining than the truth. Not to say these are lies, but something that's more entertaining is just like people don't really care. So it's really hard. I think we're just living in a dangerous time. You just literally don't know. One person can start something and then it's true. And then literally we're like, oh yeah, this is a fact. This is what is happening. I mean, I don't know if the stuff that's been put out about the case that the producer guy put out, I don't even know if all of that is real, right? Because obviously it's redacted, but then it'll say, oh, a rapper from Philly who was dating Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, I'm like, it's like you might as well say his name at that point, right? It's
like, but I'm like, yeah.
How many Philly rappers
sound okay?
Like,
no, like, I'm like, does it even sound okay though? Like, which, I mean, that's how it would be described in those documents?
I would have to get someone like Senna to confirm. Is that how it's actually done? If it's redacted,
have the
description. Because if it's legit, then yeah, it's late. But I mean, if I'm like an Usher, for example, or me, it's annoying where what someone that I'm associated with, or even a friend, right, is going through some shit, and then I then become collateral. And like, hey guys, leave me. Like, I'm not the one on trial. All of a sudden, now I'm trending on Twitter, you know, for wild reasons because I've been listed in a deposition somewhere. I feel bad for those guys.
And then, did you see the part where they were alleging about some porn activity or whatever, right? And they were saying it was Stevie J. I don't know if you know Stevie J. He's a producer, but he used to be on Love and Hip Hop. So, because there were images and they were saying, oh, this is a picture of Stevie J and whatever. And then the actual person who's in those stills, right, who is an adult entertainer, came out and was like, no, that's me.
How?
Like, that's not Stevie J, right? They're like, oh, but that's me. And it was him. And apparently that's like stills from something that's accessible on these adult sites. Like, anyone can, like, search and find that, right, if you're into that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like, right now, I feel like if you are associated with Udidi, anything goes. Like,
yeah, I know, it's peak.
It's the whole pain, the bill thing, right, about the power of association. Like, you don't want to just blindly associate with anyone. And also, even with Udidi, right, honestly, a lot of stuff just sounds like, aren't you Cat Williams, Wati? When Diddy wants to party, you gotta tell him no. Right? But we don't even really know what exactly that means. And obviously, there's the stuff that Cass's lawsuit had, you know, which was quite really like disturbing things.
Yeah, that was disturbing.
However, all we know is there's been no criminal, right, case charges against him, right?
So what's the type of case that he has got? Is a civil?
I think that's my understanding. It's a civil, and I'm understanding that the genesis of that is that this producer worked on Diddy's last album, the Love album, whatever. Which I feel so bad because not that I feel so bad, but everyone was like, this is such a great album. And it's always been on my, oh, I'm going to listen to it at some point. But now I'm like, I don't even want to listen to it, right? Yeah. And at the same time, it's one of those things, like, it's like, you know, do I not listen to it? Do I listen to it? Because people say it's one of Diddy's best work, right? The R&B album that he put out. But I just think, we're just living in such a time where like, you're right. If I were Meek or Usher, I would be annoyed. But the thing is, Meek as well, the way he kind of responded, it was just like, it was giving heat dog, right?
He should, but at the same time, just ignore it, guys. Just ignore. I mean, it's similar to when, you know, TD Jakes was now trending. That shit was funny.
Yeah,
that one was.
Yeah,
there. I knew it probably wasn't true, but it was funny. Oh my God.
And that's the thing. Hilarious. Like for me personally, I'm like, this is somebody I respect. Like I listen to his ministry, right? And all these jokes are flying, right? And
but he didn't even help himself with his whole speech of, have you ever been swallowed?
No, but
I thought that was AI. I genuinely thought that was AI. No, and someone was like, it's legit.
But that's a message from years ago. But again,
oh, it's not even recent.
How? It wasn't after the, it's from years ago and somebody clipped it. And, you know, it's funny. But again, we're just living in a world where, I don't know, like you just have to, and it's not to say what to some of these things you can never vouch for a person, and you literally do not know, right?
Yeah.
You cannot vouch for a person, but we're just living in a world where if somebody decides today to say, oh, Natasha did this, like if it's entertaining, like people are gonna believe it because
yeah,
it can be inconvenient sometimes. So
no, fair, but I see they get up otherwise. The listeners, yeah, we don't want them to get swallowed. man, that audio would never, like, not be funny, ever. Oh my gosh. Goodness. But, yeah, thank you so much, Nat, for stepping in and replacing Mr. Moy. I think this was a really, really dope episode. We look forward to your next cameo appearance on the podcast.
No, and anytime, guys, anytime, and thank you for having me. And I cannot wait to hear. And guys, chicken bus or not, like you gotta comment and tell us, like, is Extra City a chicken bus or is it not?
All right, guys, go to Nat's TikTok account and watch the video, and then just go comment in the video and let her know if it actually is a chicken bus or not. can you do like even a poll on your video, or is that just like Instagram?
So
what's your TikTok handle?
Oh my God, I don't want to open in case I mess up what we're doing here. I'm so scared.
Right,
I think it's Malaika Diva one.
All right, we'll put it in the podcast description for this week. Lindo added in. So if you're interested, check the description. Nat's handle will be linked there. Go and watch the video and let her know your thoughts. But otherwise, guys, as you know, like the ting, subscribe to the ting, retweet the ting. And if you don't, we're inclined to believe you are a hater.
Hater, Nat. Yeah.